Welcome to Reader Seeks Romance Channel's Romance Roundup. I am Liz Donatelli.
And I'm Libby Kay, author of the sweet romance series Buckeye Falls.
Libby and I are chatting about spring 24 must-read romances. We are joined by a couple of bookstore superstars from Gramercy Books in Columbus, Ohio. Co-manager and digital media manager Nikki Schneider and bookseller Katie Serqua facilitate Gramercy Books Romance Book Club, and they have book recs to share.
Oh, yes.
I love it. Watch Romance Roundup on Reader Seeks Romance channel and subscribe on YouTube. Listen to Romance Roundup on Podbean and all podcast apps. Welcome, Nikki and Katie.
Yay!
Hi!
Yay!
We are so excited to have Nikki and Katie with us today, and I have loved going to the Gramercy Book Club for, I think it's been a year and a half now that you've been doing it, right?
Yes, it's been a year and 2 months.
2 months,
yes.
Libby, have you attended every book club, pretty much, every romance book club at Gramercy?
I think maybe all but one. There was one around the holidays. My husband and I had a, he took me up for a lovely day at the Christmas theater, but I unfortunately had
to. Whatever.
Yeah, I know. It was actually a horrible time. I hope we never do it again.
Oh, I feel better now.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Good I know. I hate missing out. I had actual FOMO. I'm like, oh man.
Well, I'm excited to attend my first Gramercy Books Romance Book Club next month. Well, actually, it's in a few weeks, really, right? Yeah. Next week?
The one for, are you coming for Lila?
It's literally March.
Oh, it's right? Next Tuesday.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Remind me of the title. For some reason, I've been calling it Lila Good Luck. It's the last days, of Lila Good Luck.
Yeah.
By Kylie Scott.
Kylie Scott.
Yeah. Correct. Yes.
We'll hold our opinions about that one.
We will. But you know what? If we both like it, it'll end up on Romance Roundup in a future episode. And if not, if you never hear from us again about that title, then there you go. Well, there's nothing left to do but to let the roundup begin.
Giddy up! All right.
Perfect.
Love it. I've officially been replaced. Goodbye, everyone.
That was very enthusiastic.
We were excited.
I love it.
So we chose books from March, April, and May. I have four. One of them is not mine. It is one of our coworkers, Daniel, who insisted that one of us mention it.
It was a strong request.
It was not a request, really. It was a demand. But so my one that I'm really excited about first, chronologically, is Expiration Dates by Rebecca Serly.
I think that's how I would say it, too.
Yeah, Rebecca Serly.
Oh, really? I always call her Searle.
Expiration Dates by Rebecca. It comes out March 19th. And she wrote In 5 Years, a few years ago. And she also wrote One Italian Summer, which I absolutely loved. So she's not a new author, but this is actually her first fully romance title. This one is specifically pivoted as a romance book.
Excellent.
I'm very excited about it because I loved In 5 Years and I loved One Italian Summer. And if anybody has read them, they know that those are books that are very heartfelt. There's a lot of a lot of warmth, but also a lot of personal growth, which I really like. So Expiration Dates, I wrote down a little snippet. Every time Daphne Bell meets a new man, she receives a slip of paper with his name and a number on it, the exact amount of time they will be together.
So
a little bit of magical realism. Which is not new for Rebecca, because obviously One Italian Summer, you had a little bit of a time slip. Yes.
Yeah.
And In 5 Years, you had a time slip. So, I think the premise of this would be that eventually Daphne, you know, she's living her whole life. She's kind of like shut herself off, because how can you really feel something for someone if you know how long you're going to date them? And she's just waiting for that time when there's no date on the paper, and that day comes and she gets a single name and no date and no number. So that sounds good. It's one of those find yourself while finding the one stories, which I really enjoy. So I'm really looking forward to that when it comes out March 19th.
It looks really good.
It looks really good.
I like that what you said about her finding herself while she's finding it, because, and I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Liz, I feel like romance books have really shifted to, it isn't just like, oh, I'm perfect now because we fell in love. I feel like there's actual character development on both sides lately. And that's been really enjoyable as a reader.
I had come across that book and I was very excited because I read in 5 years. I love time slips. Mm-hmm. I love the idea that I'm going to wake up and it's like 5 years later or 5 years before and I'm with someone else. And then I have to make a decision. And it's like, oh, maybe it'd be better. I'm always thinking of alternate realities, time slips. I really just don't want to be in this reality. And yeah. So I love books like that. So now being you mentioned that, is that maybe going to be a future book club book, do you think, maybe? At a,
so for book club, we do this by the book.
Yeah.
we like to look through our options and see what's coming out around the time, or like a month or so before we have our book club. And we like to choose ones that we think everyone would enjoy. We select three options and then we let everyone kind of vote the night that we have book club, and whatever's the most popular choice wins. And that's what we end up reading. So
yeah, so you'll get to be a part of that.
Yes. Like, yeah.
There we are.
Oh, I'm excited about that.
Actually appear.
Yeah, some of these might appear. This one, I'm not so sure. I don't know. It depends.
It's a little late in the.
It's a little early for May. Usually we pick three and we kind of like spread that. Like we have like, we'll go for a romantic comedy. Yeah. A very straightforward romance,
maybe a little bit sadder,
something a little sadder, or we'll have an option that's sapphic or queer. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And so we can go there.
So like mix it up a little bit, so it's not always the same book that we're reading, the same tropes every time.
Nice.
Like a little bit of a break, you know.
Nice.
It's been a very nice balance, I have to say.
Okay, good. Oh, thank you. We love the feedback.
Thank you.
Very good. Very good. So, what have you next?
Okay, Katie.
Oh, my turn. Okay, yes. So. Mine's not going to be as eloquently said as Nikki's. However, my March pick that I'm really excited about is called In a Not So Perfect World by Neely. And I'm going to butcher the middle name. I know the last name's Alexander.
Neely Alexander.
Yes.
Neely Alexander.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a delightful Caribbean set romp about a ambitious designer of apocalyptic video games with a strategy for almost everything, who discovers what happens when her best laid plans go off course. So she's kind of looking for an escape from work, and her hot next door neighbor happens to be looking for someone to go on vacation with him as a fake girlfriend in order to get his ex back. Sounds messy, and I'm invested.
Yeah.
So they go off on this vacation and it's supposed to make his ex jealous, and they might find things that they have in common and fall in love. So I'm very excited about seeing what the hot neighbor has, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I love a good hot neighbor. And I love fake dating. I mean, I just can't. I mean, I can get enough eventually, but right now I can't.
I think the potential for there's only one bed is like pretty high.
Fingers crossed.
Okay. One something. Because I've elevated it to one sleeping bag, one bunk bed. I've heard all the. So it's like now it's just become the one something trope where, yeah. As far as, you know, fake dating, I just made this confession, I believe it was to Libby yesterday via text. And I'm starting to like, I loved fake dating and now it's turning into just absurdity.
Everywhere. It's in almost every single book, I feel like.
Yeah.
And but like it's getting further and further from the reality, even though nobody on the planet has ever known anyone to actually fake date in reality. But the reasons are becoming more and more contrived and less plausible that to me, when I see fake dating, a lot of times I'm like, oh, this is going to be bananas. This is going to be, you know, balls to the wall, crazy town USA. So I feel like I need some cajoling and some recommendations before I want to go into fake dating, because I keep like just shaking my head the whole time.
No, I think you're right. And I think we've talked about in the fact how not just in romance novels, in books in general, there always seems like there's trends, like, you know, 2 years ago and still now a little bit, there's a lot of trend of like, oh, it's an author, it's an editor, it's a publisher. And now I was just noticing when I picked up the new Christina Lauren arc for something Paradise, which is
The Paradise plot?
Paradise Problem, maybe.
Problem, the Paradise
also,
Problem.
Yeah, also exes who are fake dating. And I'm like, I'm so tired of exes fake dating.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
I have to agree. Yeah, I know. And I was excited to see Christina Loren had something coming out. I was like, oh, look at this tropical book cover. When I read what it was about, I was like, oh no, like, this is not what I want to read. You know, exes, I kind of believe exes sometimes should just stay exes. I know that that's, you know, I've always said, are you talking from personal experience?
Maybe. No, I am currently dating my
she ex. Is.
Oh, well, I mean, sometimes it works out.
Maybe not for me, guys.
But for me, no.
Yeah. Everyone else, though, horrible idea. Yeah. It would never work in a million years.
For me, I can't do ex. I've already told my husband, if we ever divorce, I will never speak to you again. I'll have nothing to do with you. You know, like, and he thinks it's funny. He was like, I'm telling the truth. I just move on.
Yeah.
And I'm the same way in real life, but I love a good second chance in a book. Not necessarily the fake dating, but I just like second chances in books. But I've also said the same thing to my long suffering husband as well. And he also laughs. So,
it takes a really skilled writer to pull off second chance, which I've mentioned it before on many of my shows that it's like you have to write two love stories. One, make us believe they fell in love in the first place. Make believe, you know, that they can fall in love again, given their past breakup. So, but only skilled people can pull it off.
I think a lot of times the authors rely on like when they were first loves, they were kids, they had a lot to figure out.
But then you got to figure out like apart. 20 or like some odd year age gap where they've grown as separate people. Mm. And then how do they then realign as different adults?
Right. Some can pull it off, some cannot.
Yeah.
It usually helps that everyone is really hot as they get older. And it's like, oh, look how hot they are. They're either still hot or they became hotter. If there's ever like the opposite was like, oh wow, you were so hot and now you're kind of an uggo. I mean, I'd like to see them get back together. Like that's
they would not be fake dating. Yeah, they wouldn't be fake dating the uggo. They'd be like, nah, figure it out. Yeah.
Actually, I think that's the title, fake dating the uggo.
That's it. Oh my god.
Fake dating the uggo.
Do you know how fast I would read that book? I think that there's potential. There.
I think there is too. It's definitely going to be one of those under 2 hours Amazon reads that you're mentioning.
Yes.
I've been addicted to those 2 hour reads, let me tell you.
Yeah.
That's a whole other journey for another time. Okay. So I believe it's Nikki's turn, right?
Oh, yes.
All right.
That's what we were doing.
We're just having a good time.
This one, I know. This one, a lot of people have probably heard of, and that's fine. It is Just for the Summer, Abby Jimenez. I absolutely love Abby Jimenez, and I don't care who knows it. Big fan. That one comes out April 2nd. So the blurb for that one said, Justin is cursed. Every woman he dates goes on to find their soulmate the second they break up. When a woman slides into his DMs with the same problem, they decide to date each other to cancel out the curse. Do you think it works, guys?
God, I hope so.
We'll see. But they tagged it as a summer romance, dual point of views, found family. They did indicate that they're that if you are triggered by mental health issues or discussions of past traumas, to maybe like keep an eye on that.
Okay.
And it says hilarious, lovable side characters, which if you've read Abby Jimenez before, she's done what'd she do, Happily Ever After playlist and Part of Your World and Yours Truly. Her side characters are always just as entertaining and like you care about their story as much as you do the main characters, which I think is great. So I thought that sounded very good and I'm really excited for that one. And the cover is really cute. That maybe could be
gorgeous.
An awesome book club. We'll see. That sounds really good. I like the way she writes.
Okay.
She does a really good job of balancing like the rom and the com, but also once again, like there's serious bits to everything that she writes, which like you said before, it seems like those are the stories that I really get invested in nowadays. Mm-hmm. It feels a lot more than surface level when you actually like care about something real that's happening to a character.
Right. Exactly.
Katie.
Yes. My turn again.
Mm-hmm.
So my next one is called The Kiss Countdown. It comes out April 9th.
Yes, this is the astronaut one.
I'm so excited about this one.
So excited.
So I have not read anything by this author. I think it's actually supposed to be a debut book.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah, she's a debut author,
I'm really excited about this one. So a little blurb is a struggling event planner and a sinfully hot astronaut must decide if their fake relationship is worth a shot at happily ever after in this starry debut. So another fake relationship, which might be a a trend with mine.
Because there's an astronaut involved, I feel like that trumps my concern over fake dating, because
I mean, I feel like it's up there with firefighters for me. Astronauts, firefighters. I'm really excited about this. So it's supposed to be a dual viewpoint. And Amory, who is our main character, is a risk-averse event planner and seems to have a gravitational pull to Vincent after spilling an Americano on him in a coffee shop. And they end up living together while she saves some money in order to save her business. And I just think that's the sweetest thing. And it was definitely going to be a one bed at one point in this.
Yeah. I mean, it's very sweet and very dangerous, like in real life. I mean, like, you could never do this
really in real life. You have to make sure there's no criminal record. I mean, I'm so scared.
I thought you were going to say that they were going to live together while he was getting his clothes dry cleaned or something.
That's awesome. I believe I mentioned wanting to read that book on a previous episode, Libby, and we were talking about how the book description goes into like her spilling the Americano on him and that it was showing off his abs. And we were talking about how much coffee did she drop and what was he wearing exactly?
Well, Katie,
I work in a coffee
Katie's
shop.
A barista, so Katie can tell you how much coffee an Americano is.
Usually it's just an 8-ounce cup.
Okay.
Actually, that's true. Well, and sadly, I have spilled coffee while you were working, and you were very nice to give me another one. I still am mortified like 6 months later. I remember being like, oh man, I got it all together. I was running errands. And I remember thinking like, okay, I just have to do one more thing. And then it was just slow motion, the coffee spilling. I'm like, oh my God, I hate myself and I hate everything about this moment. And you're so nice.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, it wasn't your fault. And there was no astronauts in sight, so I just had to go home to my own house. And
You know, also, that book has someone in need of a place to stay. That's Libby's thing, is that she was reading about people who don't have housing.
Have anywhere to go. Yeah.
They're underhoused.
Underhoused. Underhoused in love.
So, that means that's Nikki's turn.
Oh,
so
okay.
Hit us.
Yeah, so it's my turn, but I'm a proxy for Daniel at this point.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Chronologically, this is his next one. So if anybody, I'm sure you have viewers from everywhere, but if anybody here happens to be a viewer here in Columbus and has been to Gramercy, you know that we have a very opinionated, sassy worker named Daniel.
He's fabulous.
He's fabulous. He's lovely. He's a menace. And he demanded that we, one of us mention this book. So here we go. To be fair, I will say, you don't have to cut this out, but you can. So it's Here We Go Again by Allison Cochran. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
April
2nd.
Also comes out April 2nd. Allison Cochran has written Charm Offensive and Charm One for Me.
Yes.
Admittedly, we are not fans of those books. And Daniel is the biggest fan of
those books.
He loves them with his entire heart.
He loves anxious and very somewhat unlikable main characters, but mostly anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gotcha. So when I was like, fine, I'll tell them about it. I didn't know very much about it. I just knew I'm not reading that book. But it actually kind of changed my mind because this one sounds kind of good. So here we go again. Allison Cochran, April 2nd. A queer rom-com following once childhood best friends forced together to drive their former teacher across the country. So when I read more about it, they are, they used to be best friends when they were kids. Obviously, they grew apart. So it is a friends to enemies to lovers because they grew apart. They weren't friends at all. And then obviously, so they were both apparently really close with one of their teachers at one point. They find out that their teacher is dying and he has like all these things he wanted to do with his life. So they pack up in what they call in the description, the gayest van ever. And drive across the country to do all these bucket list things for their teacher together. And it's sapphic. So it's two women and then their male teacher. I think Joe is what they said his name was. Mm-hmm. So they say it's a sapphic, rip your heart out, ugly cry romance, which is like something Daniel would love.
Yes.
And it does have a trigger warning, death and dying, because obviously the teacher is dying and I'm assuming does die.
Right.
But we shall see. But
sounds actually really good.
It actually sounds so much better than the other two. I don't know if you guys like don't negatively talk about books, but we totally negatively.
No, we do off camera.
Okay, we do off camera. We can get all of that out. But yeah, that one sounds pretty good. So that is Daniel's pick, Were He Here.
Okay.
I am intrigued because to be fair, I haven't read her second one, but I loved The Charm Offensive.
I did too.
I think that might've been our most popular in our other book club.
I'm so happy that you guys like it though.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it was the only one that everyone in the group liked too. Cause yes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like when people don't like it because then that leads to better conversation, but
yeah.
Yeah. So it just seems like it would be, yeah. Sapphic, like road trip, forced proximity, very flawed characters, kind of like, yeah,
right.
Lovers.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it sounds intriguing, but mm-hmm. I'm not sold because if there's supposed to be this burgeoning romance on the trip and probably some sexy times, is the teacher already gone to their heavenly reward? Or, you know, are they just hanging around while you're trying to get busy in the van? Like, I just feel like this teacher's going to have to die pretty early on, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, there's only two beds. It's the new category. It's the new category.
Only two beds. And the third person has to die.
The other one's for your dying teacher. Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, the other man. Thing is, I don't think I would drive my former teacher around the corner to mail a letter. Never mind, take them across the country. So you'd really need to sell me on they loved this teacher so much that they're the only people who could do this for them.
Right.
So
like, does he have no family left? I mean, he must not, which is like more of a reason, I guess, you would feel like you should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't put that pressure on myself.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, someone else is going to have to do that.
Well, now I'm wondering, like, how actively are they done? I'm putting way too much thought into, like, the...
I mean, this person's got to be a death store to be doing this, right?
I don't know. We'll have to read.
Is this person, like, do they have to keep bringing him to the hospital and, like, coughing up blood? Like, what are we dealing with here? Because not setting the stage for romance, in my opinion.
No, like, what's the least invasive illness? Does he have an aneurysm and they're just waiting?
Just waiting for his head to pop off.
Yeah. In the van.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy. I don't know how I'm going to edit this episode.
You're going to have a great time editing.
Yeah. So I believe we're back to Katie.
Yes, we are.
All right.
All right.
I'm really excited about that, which I am. Yeah. So
go for it.
My next pick. Also, none of these authors that I've chosen are, except for one that I've read before. So I'm really excited about all of these, but the next one comes out April 16th and it's called Late Bloomer. This is one of my sapphic picks and I'm really excited. So, Opal ends up winning the lottery and the people in her life, start knocking on her door, asking like, oh, can you like loan me some money? And like, she like has a hard time saying no. So she just says yes, but she's getting really overwhelmed. And she decides that she's just going to put her money somewhere. So she puts it into this, flower, a failing flower farm. And so,
a florist shop. I like it. Yes. Already.
Of course. A flower farm.
A farm. So she ends up moving there and then only to find out that Pepper Smith, who owns the farm, is like, I'm not moving out of here. We're going to coexist together because this is my farm, even though you bought it with your money.
Oh, okay. So this person is squatting then on the land, right?
Yeah, right? Oh. So like, I want to know like squatters, how they're going to like figure this cohabitation out because, I mean, they're obviously going to fall in love. But they have a lot of arguments. And so I feel like this is going to be a very like enemies to lovers in a subtle way. Yeah. And I'm really excited about that, but it says that it's a sapphic opposites attract romance. And it's got a lot of ups and downs to it. And it's going to be really interesting. I think it's 400 pages just to
400.
Be- yeah. That's
400 pages. This was a long one.
Yeah.
That's a lot of gardening.
I want to know what's going to happen on this flower farm.
Yep.
It's only one greenhouse. Everything is only one green thing.
Yeah,
I like that.
I don't know if you said it's Maisie Eddings.
Yeah, I've heard her books are good. I just haven't like read any of them yet.
Yeah, I read her first, her debut, A Brush with Love.
That's right. That was had like the toothbrush on it, right?
Yes. Well, she is a dentist.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I interviewed her on Reader Seeks Romance interview show. And at the time, she was still going to school. But now she has since graduated. She is a dentist. Yeah. Huh. She's amazing. She's got a lot. Like, she's writing because she does adult romance, YA romance. She's a dentist, as I've mentioned. I'm so impressed that she's a dentist.
She's a dentist.
Yeah. I mean, she does a lot, but she's a real sweetheart. Yeah, I liked A Brush with Love very much. And a lot of the things that happen, she took from her own experiences in dental school.
Oh, like, cool.
Something about making teeth molds and something funny that happens with that. So yeah. So A Flower Farm.
Yeah, sounds cool.
It does sound cute. I imagine like something like tactile. With them like planting something, and I don't know. I obviously don't have a green thumb because the plants behind me are all plastic.
Yeah, I don't have a green thumb.
It's so pretty though, Libby.
Thank you. And it'll live forever.
It's true. Nikki, we're back to you.
So I have a book choice, which I'm very excited about. But to tell you about that one, because it is the second in the series, I have to tell you about the first in the series.
Okay.
And yeah. I think it'll be okay because, in my opinion, not enough people read this book.
That's fair.
The first book, well, the book that I'm talking about is Blood on the Tide, which is the second in the Crimson Sail series by Katie Robert, which you may recognize her name from writing the Dark Olympus series. So that book is the second in the series. It comes out May 14th. It's got a gorgeous red cover. But to tell you about that one, I have to give you backstory, because in the first book, Hunt on Dark Waters, which this was a new series for Katie Robert. People who have read the Dark Olympus know that they're like the Greek mythology retellings that we've gotten up to like number 7 now, and it's getting to be exhausting if you ask me. But she decided to change it up a little bit. She's like, you know what, I think people are done with Greek mythology. What people need more of? Pirates. So she decided to write a it's like romantasy with pirates. And so the first one, Hunt on Dark Waters, we follow witchy pickpockety Evelyn. She's a scrappy shifty little thing. And she dashes through a portal to hide from her jilted ex-lover, Lizzie, who happens to be a bloodline vampire. She's totally psycho in the hot way that sapphic vampires can be.
Of course.
So she jumps through a portal. She steals jewels from her because she breaks up with her. She jumps through this portal in Lizzie's ancestral home, and she finds herself in another realm. So she ends up being saved by this pirate ship. Which I'm going to butcher how they say this, but this is like a real like mythological thing. It's pronounced in the audiobook, at least, as the Cunanun.
Okay.
It's spelled C-W-N with a little squiggle over the W. Okay. A-N-N-W-N. In the audiobook, they say Cunanun. So okay. Cunanun is a pirate ship that roams the Sea of Threshold, which is kind of like a realm where all the portals to the other realms connect. And there, I know I'm going so deep. I'm so sorry.
No.
They, the pirates aboard the Cunanun sail the Sea and Threshold to protect the other portals, basically.
Okay.
And anybody who falls in from another realm, they basically get a choice. You know, like in Pirates of the Caribbean 2, where Davy Jones is like, "Will you join my crew?" So, thank you. So, Evelyn, running from crazy ex Lizzie, falls through the realm, falls into the sea, starts drowning. The pirates pick her up. They're like, "Do you want to die or do you want to be a part of our crew?" And she's like, "Well, super hot pirate Bowen." Bowen, he's a tall gentleman. She's like, "Yeah, sure, I'll sail the seas with you." She has no intention of sailing seas with them. So a lot of things happen. That's only like the first 40 pages, guys. A lot of things happen.
Whoa.
And you end up finding out that the pirates are on the ship. Some of them have powers. Like Bowen has like a telekinesis thing going on. It's all very mystical, very fun. So that's the first book. The second book, Blood on the Tide, follows Lizzie. So Lizzie followed homegirl Evelyn through the portal.
Right.
And while she's there, like, the, you know, everything evolves. But basically, the second story is about Lizzie, the bloodline, super cutthroat, sexy, sapphic vampire, and a selkie that she finds.
Okay.
In Threshold, who someone has stolen her skin, which I don't know what that means.
I don't even know.
But someone stole her skin. There must be like magical things
maybe
in selfie
like
skin.
Shape-shifting thing?
Maybe. So
I think you've lost me now.
Yeah, I know. Let's just say mermaid. So it's like a mermaid.
Okay.
It's
like it's a sapphic story, sapphic spicy fantasy romance between a bloodline vampire and a selkie. And they're still in the same like portal realm. And they are trying to find still Lizzie's ancestral jewels, which were stolen from her.
Okay, I got it. Now, you did a good job of summarizing it because mm-hmm. you told me enough where it does sound interesting. It sounds like one hell of a ride.
It is. I mean, it's not like, such so much fantasy that it's like hard to follow at all. Because it's still like Katie Roberts' spicy fantasy. And so like everything is told to you in a way that's very like, this is what it is. Like none of it, I was like, I don't get it. It was all like, I get it. Yeah. And now they're in the cabin. Yeah.
I feel like she does do a good job of like, just kind of putting you into the action and then just explaining as you go.
Yeah.
Get the information that you need. And then.
And then the sexy time happens. And I just think that not enough people have read the series, to be honest with you. And I'm a little disappointed in everyone.
I'll finish it. I started it.
I didn't even know. I only know the mythology series. I didn't know she had a pirate series.
I had read about the first book and I was going to, you know, read it. And it's just, you have to be in a certain mindset. And I knew I didn't have the wherewithal to like stick with it. Cause you really have to be present. It can't be one of those, because there's some books you could kind of turn off a little bit and be like, you don't have to pay as much attention. Yeah. This seems like you really need to pay close attention though.
You don't really.
Okay. Well then, you know, maybe I should try it then.
Yeah. And if you guys are audiobook people, I listened to it at 2 speed and it was super fun.
Oh, that's Libby's.
I love finding people who can listen to it fast. I can't, anything less than time and a half is two.
That's my general start point is two.
Two, yep. Oh, I love it. Oh,
that's your start. That's my start point. Sometimes 2.2.
I don't know how to do it.
I can get up to 2.5. That's when I usually have no idea what's going on. And I won't say the name of the book because I don't want to be rude, but we read a horrible book for our other book club last month. And I ended up listening to it at 3 speed on the way to book club just to get to the end. And it was still awful at 3 speed. I mean, it was just awful. But anyway, we won't mention that.
If you donate to our Patreon, we'll tell you what the title is. I've often thought of that. I was like, we could just do this thing where people pay us and we could tell them what we really think.
Yeah. I love that. Save the extra stuff in this episode.
Okay. So that was all Nikki. Katie, do you have anything else to recommend?
I technically have two, but I'm going to say one of them and then I'll just mention the other title. Because the other one is a fake dating one and I don't need to like beat a dead horse, you know?
you can bring it. You can, you know, that's fine.
So the one that I want to talk about is called Lavash at First Sight. I believe it's Talon or Talon Voskany. It's a book they wrote, Sorry Bro. And this is going to be their second book that's coming out.
Okay.
I loved Sorry Bro. It was great. Could not get enough of it. And this one's supposed to be coming out May 7th. So this one is about a 27-year-old woman named Nazeli, and she really enjoys her job in tech marketing, but she's kind of getting tired of working with the tech bros that are always wearing Patagonia, you know, the type.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to go to a food packaging conference, and she happens to run into a woman named Ellie. Now, her and Ellie kind of have sparks that are flying back and forth, and they're like kind of hitting it off, and it's really cute. Only to find out that they are from rival families, and she's completely the enemy. So it's kind of enemies to lovers. I love a good enemies to lovers. You can't.
Oh, absolutely.
Actually, your shirt is enemies to lovers.
My shirt has enemies to lovers.
I love it. I saw the enemies. It didn't even occur to me that the bottom would
occur to me either. Yeah. So this is kind of like a Romeo and Juliet warring family.
Yeah, rival families. And I love that. And they kind of have to find their way through their feelings and the sizzling temperatures that arise and kind of figure out like what to do with their rival families. And I think what's really nice about this is that her characters are always Armenian. And so she includes a lot of their heritage and culture into these books too, which I like, it's fun.
That's cool. And it's a different perspective you usually don't see.
Absolutely. Correct. I would never know what it's like. So
yeah. Oh, I like this. And you said Lavash, like the really flat bread, right? I'm assuming is the reference. Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
I like it.
I just got that now when you said that.
I was like, I have that in my cabinet right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I like the premise that it's food packaging, you said. So that's like,
yeah.
Again, totally different spin. It's not just cooking.
Which is why I wanted to mention this one over the fake dating, because I feel like this one is definitely different from what you're normally going to get.
Right.
Yes. Right. I like it. But you can still mention the fake dating one too.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can mention it. That's fine.
Is it called Fake Flame by Adele Buck? And it is about a firefighter.
Oh. Ooh. I make exceptions to firefighters.
Yeah. So this one's meant to be a fast-paced romance. Ava wants to try and set her boyfriend's piano on fire because he is a manipulative and cheating ex who is not taking a hint that she is no longer going to be in a relationship with him. Oh. And he shows up to where she works, which is at a school because she's a professor, a literary professor. Mm-hmm. And she tries to set his piano on fire. And the fireman's like, no, don't do that. and tries to talk her down. And then they go on a fake dating crusade and try and make sure that her ex kind of gets the picture, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know though. I like the premise of this, and I like that the pianos were harmed in the making of the story.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's intriguing. I find it interesting that pretty much every situation where someone mentions having had a bad breakup or they have an ex, that the ex cheated in some spectacular fashion. Mm-hmm. I would like to see, because, I mean, you know, most of the people I know who've broken up, it hasn't been a cheating situation. So I'd kind of like to see some more, I know it's not as interesting or flashy, but some more down-to-earth reasons for some of the breakups that I'm finding in romance. Although, of course, you know, it makes for high drama in like a rom-com. It's like, oh, you cheated on me. I walked in, you were having sex, and now I'm going to burn this mother down, you know? But I would love to see some variety in some of the reasons why people break up. You know,
maybe it's one of those things where it makes the audience immediately be like, no, they're bad, you shouldn't be with them. People might be able to be like, okay, she's overreacting, or they see themselves more in the mistakes that are made. Maybe it's one of like the ultimate no-nos.
Yeah. And maybe this is keeping the book from being 400 pages with backstory.
Well, that's true too, right? Very, cut and dry. Yeah, that is true. All right. Well, there you have it. So do we have more? There you go.
Nothing.
Oh, that's it?
We've run out? Notes.
That's it. We did too many. We're so sorry. Thank you.
No, this is true. Are you kidding me?
I was actually saying
we could put like another 10 down.
I know. Yeah. I had a bunch more, but I was like, no.
Yeah. You could. No, this was fun. And I like that some of them I've heard of, some of them are on my list already. And as I've said before, is that whenever we have guests on who share books with us, it is both exciting and terrifying, because it means that our TBRs are getting more, you know, bigger and bigger and bigger, and I'm getting tireder and tireder. So I feel like, I feel good, and I feel ashamed of myself already because I'm not going to get to some of these books. So I guess thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
And that's our roundup. Watch Romance Roundup on Reader Seeks Romance channel and subscribe on YouTube, Nikki and Katie. Listen to Romance Roundup on Podbean and all podcast apps. Thanks for joining us, romance readers.
Happy reading, everyone.